Hello, everyone. Welcome to yet another episode of Caregiving Gen X Style. I am Steve Mullen.
And I'm Jennifer Mullen.
In this episode, we're going to cover a topic we don't know a great deal about, but thankfully for us, we have a guest. According to some research I did, about 5 million Americans have Alzheimer's disease, and most of them are elderly. On this show, we'll talk to a guest who is currently caring for a loved one with this horrible disease. But first, Jennifer, how's your mom?
My mom's doing great.
Good.
I didn't say she's doing well. Yeah.
Good.
She's doing great. I'm mixing it up. I believe it was on the last episode I was sharing that she had had some basal cell carcinoma on her nose. As odd as it sounds, we had a lovely day the day we were at the dermatologist because we got to spend a lot of time together in between waiting for all the results of that and chatting and really enjoyed ourselves and then had some lunch afterwards. So that was awesome. The result of that is her nose is healing really nicely. So that's good. She had to have several stitches and there was a whole big discussion about, was it going to change the shape of her nose, et cetera, et cetera. And it has changed the shape of her nose a tiny bit.
Am I going to recognize her when I see her?
I think you'll still recognize
her.
Just her grandchildren will still recognize her. But more importantly, the most exciting thing I have to share is that my brother and I had worked with her primary care provider to have some in-home physical therapy and occupational therapy. It's probably now been a few episodes ago we had shared that she had had to use her medical alert button. Yep. She had a little bit of a fall, nothing too crucial, but a little bit of a fall. So I had been at a doctor's appointment with her primary care physician and the subject of this fall came up and I said, you know, any chance we could maybe get a little in-home physical therapy and occupational therapy? Yep, no problem. Got it scheduled, which was fantastic. So yesterday I stopped by on my way to work to drop off her laundry. And she was sitting in her recliner in her living room, and she went to go stand up to give me a kiss goodbye. I'm in and out quick in the morning when I'm stopping by on my way to work. And she went to go stand up to give me a kiss goodbye. And she, popped right up out of her recliner. I have not seen her move like that in, I don't even remember the last time. I mean, she just put her hands down next to her and just boom, stood right up.
That's great.
This is exciting, Steve.
You've seen her mobility decline. It's great to see the results of what they're doing.
It absolutely.
And sometimes if you're not there for a few appointments, PT, OT, whatever it is, you're a little surprised at what they can suddenly do.
Yes. Well, and I think too, I don't know that she has realized the full effect of it. So of course, probably much like you do with your children when they do something you're really proud of. I couldn't believe it. I said, Mom, do you realize what you just did and how great that was? I can't believe how much stronger you seem right now. And she said, oh yeah, you know, it's really I do feel like it's going well. I wanted to make sure that she was realizing the benefits of it. And of course, then I excitedly got in my car and before I headed off, I texted my brother and I said, I can't even believe this. I'm so excited at just how strong she seemed.
It's
so
fantastic.
Right, yeah. It works. It definitely works. So, Steve, how's your mom?
So I mentioned, first of all, she's back. She's in assisted living. She's settled in. Everything's great there after her hospitalization, et cetera, et cetera. But I did mention back after she got out of the hospital that I had so many How's Your Mom stories stored away. And I thought I'd go ahead and start sharing them
several episodes. Yeah.
So this one comes from when she was in skilled nursing and rehab. And by the way, she has instructed me from now on to say skilled nursing and rehab.
Oh.
Because to her, skilled nursing sounds like nursing home.
Okay.
She doesn't like it.
All right. Well,
so skilled nursing and rehab is okay. So from now on, it's skilled nursing and rehab.
That's fine.
Which is a mouthful. But anyway, this comes from when she was there, and we had a patient care team meeting. And
wait, I'm sorry. Can we back up for a second? We're just going to have to call it a snur. That's way more fun to say. That might be more fun to say than sniff.
Snurf. Got to add facility on the end.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
A snurf.
Oh, it's going to be a new one. Okay. That was a squirrel. Sorry, folks. Go ahead, Steve.
So she was in skilled nursing and rehab facility, a snurf. And we were having the patient care team meeting. Now, anybody who's had a loved one in a facility like this probably knows what these are all about. But if you haven't, basically it's, you know, when they first get there or as they go along, you'll have a meeting and it will have everybody that works with them. So the PT, the OT, nursing, member of the social work team. I mean, basically everybody, and then family members, and then, of course, the patient. And this is our first one. And so, you know, my mother and I were in her room waiting, and they all came in, and they introduced themselves. And my mother said, well, I'm Nana. She said her name. And then I popped up, and I did what I typically do in facilities like this, because I think I'm funny. Yeah, you can see from Jennifer's laugh that I'm not actually funny, but I said, well, I'm her favorite son. And they all, their eyes got a little wide, and they all kind of looked at her, and she said, he does my laundry. I don't want to argue with him or he'll stop.
That's exactly right.
So she has a little bit of a sense of humor.
Yeah.
It's dry, and I get that from her.
It is true. Her sense of humor has always been dry, so I'm not surprised. And in fact, I'm glad to hear that it continues. That's a good thing.
Exactly. Good thing. All right, so let's move on to our episode. Alzheimer's is a memory disease that slowly takes away its victim's ability to remember, even later functions in any really meaningful way. It's the most common type of dementia, but it's more progressive than other varieties. Many types of dementia are treatable, but there's really no cure for Alzheimer's, and it always just gets worse one way or another. Some other research I did, it's the sixth leading cause of death in the United States.
So joining us for this episode is Christoph Sesson.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. So Christoph, you are a caregiver for your mother, Ginger. You're also a podcaster. You host a show called Living with Alzheimer's with Christoph and Ginger. So first, Christoph, thank you so much for joining us on Caregiving Gen X Style.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.
So first off, we always ask our guests, how's your mom?
Yeah, I was listening to your stories.
And now we get to listen to yours.
Yeah, that was great. Your mom popping up after some PT. That's awesome.
It was exciting.
We actually skipped my mom's PT appointment today because she has yet another UTI. So if I was to tell a story about how's my mom, it's all about whether or not she is currently experiencing a urinary tract infection, because any infection messes with dementia and makes the symptoms worse.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, UTIs have been her bane. That's been her main battle. I mean, she's a small lady, spry, still very mobile. And yet the thing that's really taken her down has been, you know, the UTIs. So we're there again, yet again. This is the second this month, in fact. So,
oh, wow.
Not a good start to the year.
Oh, I am sorry to hear that. And some of our listeners who have been with us throughout our entire journey of this podcast definitely know UTIs are a thing that Steve's mom has battled a lot.
It's true. It's true. We did a whole episode of a cautionary tale. Christoph, if you haven't listened to it, you know, you might want to go ahead and skip that one, because it's pretty awful as to what can happen if nobody's around when they have that UTI woof.
Yeah, so let's just start off by saying we empathize with you so much, especially if that's an ongoing thing with your mom. We definitely understand how challenging that is. So, she's in the middle of it right now, but do you feel like you're headed on the upswing of that?
Well, actually, she did better today, even before the antibiotics started, than she did yesterday.
Good.
So that was a good sign. I think part of the reality is you just kind of deal as best you can. And she seems to still have that capability, even though many of her other capabilities have gone. And so today she was more mobile, but Tuesday, she took a spill, and that was her first fall in months. And it was just brought on again by the disorientation that comes along with the infection. So,
yeah, those are nasty. Definitely, Steve and I learned a lot along the way when that started happening with his mom, for sure. So
it's true. Yeah, my mom's had a couple that have caused some pretty significant confusion.
Yeah,
and. Yeah. Hopefully. So, I mean, your mother, she's up and mobile. You can, you know, she can get up and get in the car and go to the doctor. Yep. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes it a little easier, at least.
It does.
Get her to the doctor.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. Yeah. So, Christoph, Living with Alzheimer's with Christoph and Ginger is your podcast. Tell us a little bit about your show. How did you get started?
The shortest story is when I learned my mom had Alzheimer's, and when I found out how much I did not know about Alzheimer's, and that when I started talking to people around me, friends and family, I heard a lot of stories about Alzheimer's that I had never heard before. I realized we don't talk about Alzheimer's much. Mm-hmm. And I was really feeling like I was learning everything from scratch. And I thought, this is silly. Why not have a place where the resources that I'm learning about and, you know, insights that I'm gaining could be shared? And the podcast was the logical conclusion. The longer story is, I'm also a musician, and I was getting some sound equipment pulled together, and I thought, you know, hey, this sound equipment could be used for a podcast also, right? And so we set it up so that I could do both.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, can I just say, by the way, here's a little squirrel. I can just tell by your voice, by the way, Christoph, that you're a musician. That does not at all surprise me that you just said that.
Funny. Yeah. So tell us, when was your mother diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and how has she progressed since then?
She was actually formally diagnosed in the fall of 2019, but there had been suspicions in 17 and 18 before her official diagnosis. And so her mom, who was in her mid-90s, had been diagnosed with dementia. And that was probably Alzheimer's, but she wasn't around long enough to really get the whole nitty-gritty there. Kind of set some alarm bells off for my mom, and she started, you know, like tracking some of the memory slips that she had had. And in 2017, she was still with it enough to know that she was having a harder time remembering things.
Wow.
She knew what she didn't know.
Yeah, exactly. And so being a very industrious person who gets things done, you know, that's her history. You know, she went to her doctor and said, hey, here's what I have observed. And I left a burner on and came back into the room, and I didn't even remember having turned it on. And that scared me. And then my mom's diagnosis, please check me out. And so they did a small assessment, which is commonly referred to as a MoCA. It's the Montreal Cognitive Assessment. And the MoCA is like 30 questions, I think, 30 exercises. Some of it is math. Some of it is remembering some words that were just read to you. Some of it is recognizing some stick drawing kinds of things. I mean, it's a variety of things. And then based on your score, it gives some sense of whether a person is having some dementia issues or memory issues related. And
so let me interrupt for just a second. Yeah. Is that the one where they ask them to draw a clock?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So, I've heard of that before, and yeah, I'll jump into that. Finish your story.
Yeah, so the MoCA, in fact, you speak about the clock, Steve, and after she was officially diagnosed, she said, it was that damn clock. That if I could have done the clock, I wouldn't have dementia. You know, I think she had to draw the clock, an analog clock with, you know, the long hand and the short hand. This test seems like it won't be relevant soon because none of us use an analog clock much anymore.
Exactly.
Right. But in any case, you had to do like put the hands, you had to put all the numbers, and then you have to put the hands where it's 11:55, something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, her clock in 2017 is accurate. Her clock in 2018 is off. It's very close. In 2019, her clock looks nothing like a clock. All the numbers are grouped to the bottom. The hands are there, but they're not pointing at anything specifically. I mean, it's a dramatic difference.
Have you ever gotten an explanation as to why that is such a good measurement?
No, I haven't heard.
I got to look into this because, yeah. You know, my mother, she has diagnosed with dementia. She had COVID delirium for a while, mm-hmm. that really at some one point or another was mimicking very severe dementia. And they gave her that clock test. And I did not look over her shoulder, and I wish I had, But I do know at that point she was losing the ability to read a clock. Okay. And we were getting to the point where we were just going to buy her a digital watch because she always wears a watch. But I'm going to have to look into that. If anybody out there, if any of our listeners know the story behind that or why that's such a big thing that they do, please shoot us an email. I would love to know.
Yeah, but I also think, Christoph, that is a really interesting point too, though, about using that as a measurement, that that's going to become more challenging in the future. You are 100% right, because like no one's using those types of clocks, or at least not very often anymore.
Everybody's got a phone these days, and so you're doing it digitally. You might look at the analog, you know, representation of it on your phone, but probably not. In any case, in 17, she went herself. In 18, I came up for, I had lived in Kansas City for a long time, and I came up to visit in Michigan, where I am now. And very excitedly, she told me about a product called Living Lettuce. And it, I've not seen it since, actually, but the concept was there was this little well in the bottom of the container for the lettuce, and you put some water in there, and it kept it fresh longer. And she was really excited about that. So she took it out of the fridge and she said, have you ever seen this? And I was like, oh, no, I haven't. What is that? Oh, Living Lettuce. Great, great. And so we went along and we continued with the day. And, you know, a couple hours later, she brought that thing out of the fridge again and said, have you ever heard about Living Lettuce? I was like, just about two hours ago, Mom. And, you know, later in the evening, she told me about it again as if she had never explained it to me. And that's when I went, huh, something's going on here. And so I encouraged her to reach out to her doctor again. That was 2018. In 2019, I just called her doctor directly and said, look, there's a lot of things going on here. I'm not sure what's happening, but it's not right. You know, it's not the Ginger that I know from the past. She's discombobulated, disorganized, you know, getting confused about things, bills unpaid, you know, that kind of thing. Just unheard of for her. And so at that time, then they did a more formal assessment, involved a neuropsychologist who did a larger battery of tests than just the MoCA is. And that was when the diagnosis came back as Alzheimer's.
It really is startling, isn't it? I think about so many years ago, visiting my, oldest brother who lives in a different state, and my brothers have a different grandmother than I do, right? Family tree goes in a couple different directions. They have a different grandmother, but I always, you know, I had a few interactions throughout my life with their grandmother on that side of their family. And I was sitting there with my oldest brother. We were sitting out on her patio, and she's told us about how, you know, she asked, oh, you know, do you like the new coverings on the patio furniture? Do you like the fabric that I picked up? Yep, love it. It's beautiful. And then, just like you said, it was probably 15, 20 minutes later, she asked the same question. And I was probably, at the time, I might have been 14, 15 years old. This was a long time ago. And it was really my first experience with someone who was at that stage of Alzheimer's. And it was very startling. And throughout the probably hour that my oldest brother and I were sitting there talking with her, she asked if we liked the fabric that she had picked out for this patio furniture, a dozen times probably.
Wow.
And it really is very startling. So I can only imagine when you're there with your mother, Christoph, and the Living Lettuce story, and throughout one evening sort of having that realization of, something definitely is not right here. It's tough, definitely.
So, you know, we don't have, as I mentioned earlier, we don't have a lot of experience with Alzheimer's. My grandmother actually had Alzheimer's, but you know, at the time we were, Jennifer and I were pretty busy with a young family, and my mother took care of her. I did have some interactions with her, so, you know, a little bit about it. But you live with your mother, is that correct?
That is correct.
And what's a typical day like?
So the typical day has changed over the past 3 years. So I had helped my parents get into assisted living back in early 2020, just before the pandemic. And then my dad passed. And then with the isolation of the pandemic and, you know, just the way things were going in assisted living during the pandemic, my dad was gone. She's totally isolated. The, you know, residents are not seeing each other, interacting with each other. My siblings and I decided something's got to change. And I had the opportunity to come up and return her to her home of 35 years. And so that's where we are. The whole idea was she would be in an environment that is familiar to her. And initially, that really resonated with her. So she was in what they call early stage Alzheimer's, as opposed to early onset, which we can talk about later. But early stage Alzheimer's, she was pretty functional, really just needed help remembering things and staying organized, but she could still accomplish a lot of her normal tasks. So if I said, hey, mom, it's time for you to go take a shower, she'd go take a shower. Hey, mom, it's time to go get dressed, she'd go get dressed. Today, I can't say go take a shower or go get dressed. I have to be there. Here's a sock. You know, here's your underwear, here's your pants, now please put those on, you know, that kind of thing. That's where we're at. So today it is very much the daily routine is guiding her activities, keeping her calendar, getting her where she needs to be, making sure that she's got something interesting to do each day without it being too much so that she doesn't just get totally worn out, because then that she has this, you know, kind of this limit of how much she can handle a day where the stress gets enough that it really starts impacting how agitated she is, where if we keep it calmer, quieter, she does better, smiles more, engages more, you know, that kind of thing. So it's really just kind of doing all the things you would normally do for a 5-year-old. And now, you know, all the things she did for me when I was 5, I'm doing for her now that she's 82 with Alzheimer's.
Yeah. Wow. It's amazing what you're doing for sure. Let me, and by the way, I love that you said that, because that last part, Steve and I have definitely talked about that with our moms. And I know my brother feels this way too. Like, why would we not do these things? Right? And we, by the way, when I say the things that we're doing, not anywhere near, of course, at the level of what you're talking about, but still, like, why would we not do these things for these people who took good care of us when we were growing up? And of course, we need to give that back to them, definitely. And I know Steve and I wouldn't have it any other way. Christoph, it sounds like you would not either. I am curious. You mentioned that you have siblings. I am curious, if I may ask, and if you're okay sharing, do you feel comfortable sharing a little bit about how that decision was made? Because we talk a lot about different types of caregivers and how that ultimately plays out in families. I'm just a little curious about that.
Well, I have a number of friends who have siblings that they don't get along with. They don't interact well with. It's always contentious. You know, I really don't want to go to the holidays because there's going to be arguments. My siblings and I aren't there. We actually communicate well and are pretty much on the same page with things. We all come at it from a different angle, though. Like, our experiences are different and our personalities are different enough. So when we talked about this, I was really leading the I'm the oldest, so I'm a little bit bossy, although my sister's pretty damn bossy. So anyway, I led the conversation because I was really concerned for what my mom's experience was going to be if she stayed in assisted living without my dad being there, and with all of the, you know, specific rules about the pandemic and how much contact she could and couldn't have. So I was pretty determined that we needed to do something. And when we did the little really be real kind of conversation, you know, my brother was like, well, I can spend 5 minutes with her before it starts really getting to me. You know, he's very sensitive, right? And the whole thing of being with someone who has Alzheimer's is you're really losing the person. And because it's a progressive thing, you're always in the process of losing them. It's very stressful.
Sure.
And, you know, the grief process is unlike anything else I've experienced. And I don't think I was really good at grieving in the first place. But every time I think, oh, well, I've gotten over the grief of losing my mom, I go, actually, I'm not, because here's another little piece. My brother was sensitive to that right up front. You know, he just knew that this was going to impact him in a way that he could not sustain, you know, a daily taking care of mom situation. I'm really glad he was able to see that for himself and speak it honestly. My sister was like, I can do a week, you know, and I was like, you know, so it was the 5 minutes, 5 days. And I said, I think I can do 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Again, kind of naive because I really didn't know. And there have been moments in the 3 years that I've been doing it so far where I was like, what did I do here?
Right.
Yeah.
Why did I make this choice? It is one that we made a decision as best we could in the moment. And we have adjusted as best we can along the way.
Great. Well, that makes me really happy for you. I'm really happy to hear that it was a collective decision. It sounds like you guys came to that that conclusion in a very thoughtful and practical way. And that's really good.
And you know what I really like about that, and kind of tagging on to what Jennifer was saying, is I really like that they were open about it, what they were capable of and what they weren't capable of. And, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, with these situations with deciding who's going to be primary, who's going to not be primary, a lot of times there is no decision. It just happens.
Right.
But I think that a logical discussion of who is able to do what, you know, in terms of, you know, what kind of capacity they have in time or emotions or whatever makes a whole lot of sense. And I wish more families would do that. So, you know, we've already said neither of our mothers have significant memory issues. My mother has a dementia diagnosis, but it's relatively mild. She had that COVID delirium, which thankfully worked its way out of her system. And, you know, my grandmother had Alzheimer's, but again, I wasn't really heavily involved. So what is something about caregiving for a person with Alzheimer's that the typical caregiver probably doesn't know?
To me, I think the biggest knock on the head around Alzheimer's was that you die from it. I said earlier that my siblings and I were helping our parents get into an assisted living. And so we were doing a lot of touring on our own, and we'd take them to the couple few that we thought were, you know, up their alley. And I was sitting with the director of an assisted living facility, and we were talking about the needs and shared that my mom had Alzheimer's. And the director said, oh, my mom just died from Alzheimer's. Hmm. And I just had that, you know, that double take and
yeah.
Said, what did you just say? And she said, oh, I'm sorry if I'm the one to be telling you this for the first time, but a person eventually forgets how to breathe and they die.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, nobody said that.
Right.
I mean, it was just a blow that I had not been prepared for. You know, the memory loss, the additional cognitive issues, capabilities and the like. But the fact that, you know, it impacts you that significantly that you're going to die from it was new information. And so it has definitely impacted how I do the caregiving because it's kind of like, while you can appreciate this kind of activity, we're going to do it. And when you don't appreciate it anymore, then we're probably not anymore, you know? So that was the first thing. And the other thing that I had to learn as a caregiver was about its pace. So in 2019, shortly after my mom was diagnosed, she had this episode where, you know, we went from the confusion that she was experiencing when she was diagnosed to a few days later speaking absolute gibberish. I mean, it was non-words, right? Mm. Just, I won't even try to mimic it because it was upsetting. It was not even really baby talk. It was just like her mouth was moving and sounds were being made, but it didn't make any sense. Ugh. But she was looking at people as if she was making sense.
As if
sense.
She was talking to them.
And
right.
then gesturing and asking question, like she was asking a question, and then furrowing her eyebrows, like confused why you wouldn't respond. And so I was like, oh my goodness, what is going on? We ended up in the hospital. It ended up being a really bad UTI.
Back to
the urinary tract infections again.
Well, so which was causing a pretty severe aphasia, it sounds like.
Right. And what I was thinking there was, this is what Alzheimer's does, and she's going to be gone like tomorrow. I mean, three more days like this of going downhill, and she's not going to be with us anymore. And, you know, when I was contacting some friends in panic, they were like, whoa, wait a second. She was like, what, yesterday? And like, what, today? No, that's not Alzheimer's, because it doesn't move that fast.
Right, it doesn't work that way. Yeah.
Right. With an exception, and that's the third one, is all the things about the stages of Alzheimer's. So there's a few different ways that they slice it up, but early, middle, and late stage is how they typically do. But what gets confusing is that there's also this other kind of Alzheimer's called early onset.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you mentioned that earlier. Good. I'm glad we're getting to this. So explain
that distinction. So early stage Alzheimer's is just the beginnings of the process, because it's a progressive disease, as Steve mentioned up front. And early onset is the kind of Alzheimer's that people are experiencing in their 40s or 50s. I mean, I think some are even earlier than that, 30s perhaps. Early onset Alzheimer's progresses very quickly. And so that's a completely different animal. But the quote unquote normal Alzheimer's that my mom has is a much slower progression. And of course, is then attached to things like, how is your general health and what other, you know, issues are you having physically? Because if you're already struggling a lot and are generally unhealthy, Alzheimer's probably moves more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get care when you have an infection, it's going to move really quickly too, because your body's just going to start shutting down, right?
Right.
So that was the other thing that I learned just recently, because the neurologist did the annual update. There is another scale for dementia called the FAST, or FAST dementia scale. And it's a 1 through 7. And then 6 and 7 have letters. So 6A through, I think, F, and 7A through F, or something along those lines. I'd have to look it up again. But 1 through 5 don't have any letters to go with it. So Ginger, my mom, is now at 6E. That's how far along she is.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. And when I started with her, I've asked the neurologist, I didn't think of the question in the office, so I've asked the neurologist to tell me where she was when we started this all. But, you know, based on what I can see from the scale and its descriptions, she was probably about a 3 when I started with her.
Okay. Mm. Okay. You know, one thing I was going to ask was, you know, sort of what's the absolute hardest thing that you're dealing with when you're caring for your mom? And I feel like you've already given us a couple of examples in there. Those are some pretty rough things.
Those are rough things. I think the other thing that I was surprised by as a caregiver is that Alzheimer's isn't just about memory loss. It's also a loss of logic. So my mom actually, she was a English teacher, speech teacher, went in then to library science, you know, did public speaking. I mean, she was a very logical person. She probably was primary in getting me to consider a logical response to things, because I would often knee jerk as a kid, you know, and she'd go, well, let's think about this, you know, and then process through it, right? Very logical. Now she can't logic at all. You know, it's all impulsive. And because she does things impulsively, and also because she doesn't remember it, she doesn't remember the fact that she was the person who moved the lamp out of one room and put it sideways in the other room. Like, she'll see the sideways lamp laying on the floor and go, why is that there? Because right. You did that, Mom. I'm not sure why you thought that was the way it should be, but that's what you did. You know, so it's things like that that all of a sudden crop up. The level of logic loss is happening along with the memory loss and other cognitive problems. So right now, she cannot remember a question once she has asked it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if she says, how are you doing today? And you said, oh, I didn't hear you. Could you say, what did you ask? She would ask a completely different question because she really doesn't remember. It's fascinating in one way because I cannot tell you how many times I've gone, how does the brain work at all? When it works, that's amazing that it works. And to see it, how it doesn't work when it doesn't work is really rather fascinating. It's right, also right. really saddening, you know?
Of course. Of course. Yes. Yes. Right. We know this, right? Like you grow up, you learn in science, you hear about it. The brain is just like incomprehensible in a lot of ways. And this is actually Alzheimer's, unfortunately, is a perfect example of that. It's incomprehensible. Like, why do right. all the things that worked at one point just suddenly not work anymore? Yeah. Yep. So earlier, you know, I was thinking, okay, what's the hardest thing? And of course, we've talked about a lot of the hard things. But you also said something that I thought was really interesting, and that was having moments where you say, okay, let's appreciate doing this activity, because you're sort of, it seems to me, having a recognition of this might be the last time that we do this activity.
Right.
So this might sound like a bit of a weird question. So I hope I'm going to be able to ask it the right way, but what are you finding maybe is one of the best things about the situation that you find yourself in caring for your mom in this way?
The best thing has simply been the amount of change in the family's communication. It's drawn us together, I think, where we all were kind of on our own paths, you know, following our, you know, goals and taking care of the daily needs and all that kind of thing, and not really connecting up so often. And now I feel like there's a much stronger bond between us. So, and just more empathy on my part, I think, just, you know, taking more time to really kind of embrace the moment and be in the moment. So, yeah, I mean, definitely there have been positives. By choosing to be her caregiver.
Right. Well, and I love that you say that, right? You're choosing to be there. As we mentioned earlier, these are people who took care of us, and mm-hmm. and it's now our opportunity to turn around and choose to care for them. So there is something special in that. Some people I think can embrace that more than others, definitely. But I do think it's really special that even though clearly it's very challenging on so many levels, but that you are choosing to be there to care for her. So,
yeah. And, you know, I think my biggest issue as a caregiver is that my personality style with things that aren't going well is I tend to lead with frustration. Right. So if something isn't going the way I would want it to go, I'm like, you know, at first. Right. And it was actually some insight from having an ADHD child where a phrase came along that was curious, not furious. That helped me to go just, okay, wait a second, that did not go the way I wanted. And my first response, I wanted to be furious, but let me step back and be curious a minute. Mm-hmm. I've really had to use that mantra a lot. And there are days where I forget about it. And sure. I go with furious first.
You're human. Yes.
Yep. And then at the end of the day, typically, or a couple days later, I'll go, you know what? There was a better response I could have chosen. And then typically the next time that happens, I deal with it better. But I mean, I think the curious, not furious is a really good way to go for those people out there that are caregiving and lead with, you know, the upset first. Also, it's just that whole thing of learning about yourself and how you respond in all these situations, sure. You know?
Yeah. Well, I love that phrase though, curious, not furious. I think that 100% applies not just to caregiving of someone who has Alzheimer's, but all of it, right? Like,
right.
We're all human. We all have these like little frustrations that pop up. And, you know, if you step back and look at the bigger picture, I mean, maybe some of the frustrations that Steve and I have, or, you know, my brother has sometimes, you know, very minimal compared to certainly the situation that we're talking about here with you and your mom. But that curious, not furious, I love that. I'm going to use that definitely moving forward, because I think that could apply in a lot of situations. Yeah.
So, Christoph, how can people find your podcast?
The easiest way is to just go to the website, and it's Living with Alzheimer's. So it's LW for Living With, and then ALZ for Alzheimer's.com. So LWALZ.com. All of it's there. It's also on all the major podcast outlets, so you can find it if you look for Living with Alzheimer's.
That sounds great. So thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, this was a really enlightening conversation. We appreciate it. Definitely think that some folks who have been listening to our podcast over the last, you know, year and a half, we know there are some out there who are definitely dealing with similar situations. So we hope this has been helpful.
If somebody is thinking that maybe they're dealing with dementia, or they know they're dealing with dementia, I always recommend Alzheimer's Association as the place to start. Just call them up. They have an 800 number. It's right on their website. And they will do a free consultation. And in fact, they even set you up with a counselor to work through a care plan and all that. But if it's even just a question like, is this dementia? They can help you answer that. If it's resources you need, they can help you find that. I just think that's the best place to start if you need answers.
Well, yeah, thank you for sharing that, because I do think, and we've talked about this on the podcast related to various things, but there are a ton of resources out there for all different things.
Yes.
Alzheimer's included. And I think what happens often is you find yourself in these situations, you are very overwhelmed, and you are just trying to get it done. You're going day by day, and often feel like you don't have time to step back and look for resources. Steve and I just had this, and I think we talked about it on an episode. One of our very good friends, old college roommate of Steve's, she was in our wedding. She's in a situation with her mom, and so overwhelmed with literally what she has to do day to day that I think she can't even stop and think about even going out to look for resources to help her with, you know, like the specific things that she's dealing with. So I appreciate you sharing that. Alzheimer's Association, 100%. If you find yourself in that situation, great resource. That's good to know.
And I'll go ahead and put a link to that in the show notes for this episode.
Awesome.
All right, Christoph, once again, thank you. And thanks to everyone for listening to this episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you got a question, a comment, some kind of, you know, just a how's your mom for us. You can email us at caregivinggenxstyle@gmail.com. You can send us a text or leave a voicemail. We love voicemails. 804-723-1221. You can also find us on Twitter. That's the only name of that service. Our handle is @GenXCaregiving. And we're on Facebook. You can find us by searching the name of this podcast. And as I mentioned in the last episode, the link in the show notes is now correct. It was not at one point. So we hope to hear from you soon. Have a great day.
Good night, everyone.